Hey, hey, there we go. Thank you. If you're listening to that music, you know you're listening to the special edition of Spiritual Perspectives, taking a look at real life from a spiritual perspective. And this morning, we're going to have a special guest, a tiny delay on phone, but we're going to have a special guest with us this morning, so let me tell you a little bit about him. Right there where I circled it. Special guest this morning, and our special guest, let me just talk about him. This is the son of a Mexican national and a United States citizen. Raised in South Texas along the U.S.-Mexico border, his childhood included a rich blend of cultures. Feeling that he grew up with the best of both dynamic heritage, this opened his thought to the possibility of expressing ideas in different ways. The combination of heritages he saw around him allowed him to open his mind to the idea of expressing thought in different ways. As he followed this path, studying in various levels and working at a number of different areas, through the years and all the occupations, he continued to grow in his understanding of that which is God and God's great love for all of mankind. He applied what he learned and what he'd witnessed in many healings, both physical and situational, that came through prayer. From that, he stepped out of his other work and stepped into a full-time work as a Christian Science healing practitioner, with the public practice of Christian Science, recognizing this as his life's work. And he says words can't really express the heartfelt joy he feels in helping others in this wonderful way. He's going to be here in town talking on understanding our spiritual nature, and we'll go explore a whole lot of that as we talk this morning. But everybody, first, I'd like to introduce you to Ricardo Saldivar. Ricardo, this is everybody. Everybody, this is Ricardo.
Hello, everyone. It's so nice to be here this morning.
What a treat. I'm so excited to get to talk to you. Reading some of the information in the background on you, Ricardo, it's just been a treat. I love one of the phrases I saw, a quote from you that said, literally, God's love for each of us isn't something far away or something we have to plead for. God's love is with us right now, right where we are.
That is right. God's love is his nature, and his nature is just who God is, and God is love. That's what the Bible says, and that's what I have found out to be true. In Christian Science, we see God as love, and we see that he is a very present help in trouble, and he is right with us. We walk with him. We live with him. The Bible also says, in him we live and move and have our being. And that is just so true.
So you're going to be here in town, actually doing a lecture in English, but also doing the same material in Spanish, which I think is very exciting for the Bay Area. But there's a phrase here, I love this. Are you searching for more during your busy days, for something that gives you a feeling of peace, purpose, a sense of connectedness with a higher source? You're not alone. Life often perplexes people, leaving a feeling of dissatisfaction brewing under the surface of active lives. Perhaps we all yearn to gain a deeper sense of personal spirituality to enable us to live a more satisfactory life. You go on, Ricardo, to say that you'll be explaining how each person can recognize their spiritual nature, both their spiritual nature and what is the illusion or the dream. Can we talk a little bit about that whole notion of how do you tell the difference between what's really your spiritual message and what's just your mind chatter?
Yes. What Christian scientists understand is that life is in and of spirit, and that this life is the sole reality of existence. It's the only existence that we live. So when we go about our busy day, we are really expressing God. I call it our eternal job. You know, human jobs come and go, right? And if you're a caregiver and your children end up growing up and leaving, and in the end, all human jobs come to a close, and then another one opens up. Okay, but what we have is an eternal job, and that eternal job is to express God. And we do it in everything we do throughout the day. We express intelligence, creativity, honesty, tenderness, love. All of these qualities, if you want to use that word, of God are what we are expressing, like I said, every moment of the day, whether we're at the grocery store, we're at work, we're with our family. We are constantly reminding ourselves that we are God's expression. And it helps us to live such better lives, because we're not just this lone human being struggling against the adversities of the world. We are walking with God. As the Bible says, we are one with God, because we are expressing God in everything we do. And this expression of God, this oneness of God, is our real nature. It's who we really are. And that is very important to Christian Science, because in the Bible, in the first chapter of Genesis, it says, "And God created man in his own image and likeness. Male and female created he them." There is absolute perfect equality. There is perfection everywhere. And I love at the end of chapter 1, because it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." And this concept of perfection being reflected by his man, you know, in other words, God created man, but in his own image and likeness, since God is perfect, then God could only create perfection. And that is such a better thought to have throughout the day, instead of, you know, "Oh, I'm struggling against the world, and why is this happening to me, and what's going on?" Christian Scientists have learned that we need to change our thought, and that we start seeing everything from God's, you know, God's perspective. And what happens is that the human situation begins to change, and we find solutions to problems. We find solutions to, I mean, we find healing answers for our sicknesses and our sins, and we begin to change our lives for the better.
I like one phrase, because I tend to define healing as bringing more energy or more aliveness or more of that flow of whatever, that which is God, that core energy, that core essence of ourselves. And I'm just trying to make the words easy for people to digest, because there are people out there that have some scars associated with earlier history and other organizations. But I define healing as bringing more energy to an individual or an aspect of their life than they're able to bring at that point in time, or opening so that they can bring more energy at that point in time. And one of the things I point out frequently is that healing should not be reserved for disease. And I love the fact that when you talk about the talk you're going to be doing, Understanding Our Spiritual Nature, you talk about giving examples of physical healings and situational healings. So, Ricardo, talk a little bit about what you would describe as a situational healing.
Sure, I'd be glad to. A situational healing, well, this is an example that I do use. I had a patient call me, and He was physically fine, but he had worked at the same company for, I think, about 13 years or so, and he had become a senior manager, and then he was laid off because of the recession and everything, and they were going, you know, for salaries. They were going for money. And this was very hard on him, but he did everything the way the books tell us to do it. He started networking, and he started to really concentrate on finding a job and working for a job and all of this. Okay. And what happened was that he would go into the interviews, and before he had an interview, he, you know, found out the mission of the place, and he would try to anticipate every question they would ask him. And so by the time he got in there, he was a nervous wreck. He was middle-aged, thought he had to have a certain salary in order to keep his house and to keep his family in living in the mode that they were accustomed to. And consequently, the interviews did not go well. And so he called me and said, "Ricardo, help me. I just am a nervous, nervous wreck, and I just don't know what to do."
Mm.
So I told him, I said, "You know, I can't help you find a job. That'll do that. But I can help you understand what your real job is," which I already explained, which was to express God. And I have to tell you, it took 3 weeks for him to believe me, because we talked every other day, and he was like, yeah, I understand that, but I need a job. I need to put food on the table and all that. And I said, "That will come. But really concentrate on understanding what your real purpose in life is, and that is to express God." And what was so interesting, we worked for 7 months. Every time he had an interview, the interview got easier to do. And it was so interesting. At the end of the 7 months, he called me one day and was just over the moon. And he was saying, "This expressing God is amazing." And he went on and on and on about expressing God. And he had really understood what I was talking about, and I was so grateful. And then he said at the end of the conversation, "Oh yeah, I have an interview tomorrow. It's in another state." And I said, "Oh, okay." So it was like, "Oh yeah, I have this interview," and it was all about a minute. And he said, and I said, "Well, you know, all the best with the interview. Remember what you..." Oh, he goes, "Oh no, the expressing God is what it's all about." So he went to the interview. It lasted 2 days. And it was so interesting because he came back with a job, and it was a senior management position with a good salary, and he came back and he said, "Ricardo, that was the most amazing experience. I didn't worry about it. I just kept expressing God." And he said, "Every question they asked me, I had an answer for." And then he said to me, "That was fun."
Oh, perfect.
Well, you could see the change over the 7 months. And that was so clear to me that that was his thought changing. He was no longer buying into the material sense of life with its struggles and all. He was really living, walking with God.
Oh, how fabulous. Let's break away for just a half a second so we can let people know where you're going to be, so they'd have the opportunity to get the full depth of this and the experience of you in person. Then we'll be right back with more of our interview of Ricardo Saldivar.
How can you bring more goodness and abundance into your life? Discover the connection between events in life and your spiritual nature. Come explore Way of Thinking and Solving Problems by Understanding Our Spiritual Nature, Saturday, June 9th at 4 o'clock at the Los Altos Youth Center, located at 1 North San Antonio Road. The speaker, Ricardo Saldivar from Chicago, Illinois, will present this same lecture in Spanish on Sunday afternoon, June 10th at 3 o'clock at the Mountain View Community Center. Both lectures are free and are open to the entire community. Oh,
and you are listening to Spiritual Perspectives, originating from our flagship station KEST in San Francisco and transmitting around the world on the internet and replay. So we love having you there. This is Scout Bartlett, and we're talking about Spiritual Perspectives, which is always real life from a spiritual perspective. Our guest today is Ricardo Salazar, and we're going to continue understanding our spiritual nature. Welcome back, Ricardo. I'm so glad to have this chat with you. There's one question I always like to ask when I'm doing a spiritual perspective program, and that's a question about a very important verb. What does the verb pray mean to you? Not in a grand overview sense, not what you think a corporate view of it is. For you personally, what do you do and what do you experience when you are praying?
Yes. It's so interesting. When I am praying, what I am doing is reaffirming my oneness with God. I am reaffirming that I am God's child, that He created me, that He loves me, that He will never let me fall. And no matter what I'm praying about, I always start off my prayers knowing that God is all, and then reaffirming my oneness with Him. And to me, prayer is, it's so much more than pleading for something, you know, or asking God for something.
Mm-hmm.
It is a real sense of understanding, like I said before, that in Him we live and move and have our being. I know, I understand my like I said, oneness with God, but it's a very personal thing. And so I go to God with great humility, and I listen. I sit at God's feet, if you want to say it that way, because I can do nothing. What I see the Father do, that I do. And so I work very hard to really get rid of my human opinions, my preconceived ideas, the way I think things should be. And I go to God, and I praise Him, and I listen. And I want to tell you, God always, 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 always gives me an answer. They come as thoughts, they come as, you know, flashes of ideas, even a still small voice. They come that way. And so for me, prayer, you know what, prayer, it's funny, I do it all the time. I do it when I'm standing in the shopping line, I do it when I am out driving, I do it all the time. Because again, it's that sense of oneness with God. And that sense of listening and knowing that God is in control of everything.
Perfect. And I notice as I talk to you, Ricardo, and as I look at the materials that you've written and the workshops you've done, and you can find Ricardo Salazar online, but I notice as I talk that you're not talking about a, I would like to believe in God because the Bible tells me so, Jesus loves me, etc., etc. You're really experiencing an evidence-based faith. And let me just toss that in your lap and see where you'd like to go with that.
Yes, I'd be happy to. I started studying Christian Science when I was 11. My mother was healed of a severe case of gallstones, which the doctors had said would kill her if she didn't have this operation. She, being very, very scared, canceled the operation at the last moment and then went back to Christian Science, which she had studied as a child, but had left it for a number of years, 20 or so years. And 2 weeks after she began to work with a Christian Science practitioner, who is a person who dedicates their life to helping others through Christian Science prayer, she began to work with the practitioner, and 2 weeks later, the gallstones dissolved and disappeared. And I saw this. And then I had my first hearing Christian Science about 8 months later. And I had studied, started studying when my mom had that healing. And it was, and so I had my first healing of a fever. And it was amazing how it happened. And I was so grateful. But again, I saw it. And over the years, I have had my struggles just like everybody else. I've had relationship problems, employment problems, sickness, all of these things. And I was very worried and I fretted and all of that stuff. But all the way through, I kept seeing these amazing healings. Uh-huh. And it came to a point where, and this was, now about 10 years ago, 12 years ago maybe, I said, Ricardo, how can you doubt God? You have seen this over and over and over again. And most of my healings came fast, but some of them lasted, I remember this one healing of insomnia that lasted 3 years, 3.5 years. But I did get my healing. I said, how can you ever doubt again? And it was when I had this kind of conversion moment, and I thought, Ricardo, you have seen these healings. You know this is true. Now, just trust God. It's as simple as that. You trust God. But it's not a blind trust. It's based on seeing all these fabulous healings.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed that Christian Science, it has that word science in there. And when Mary Baker Eddy brought out the seminal text of Science and Health with Keys to the Scripture, was back when the word science was used in a very specific way. It's not kind of like you walk down the grocery store aisle now and it screams science on every laundry detergent. But science then was actually the word and the notion of being able to study something sufficiently to find that you could get a reproducible result, that you could produce a theory or a thesis, and then you could get a reproducible result. And it sounds like you're talking about literally being able to apply that science in day-to-day living to day-to-day stuff, some questions that weren't even around when the Bible was written, and that you're finding a steady, reproducible result out of this particular science in your life.
That is exactly right.
I love it when I get it right.
I couldn't have said it better myself. No, that is exactly it. It is like mathematics, the law of mathematics. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 million + 2 million = 4 million. The principle never changes. And it is not a principle that is tied to matter. In other words, you write it down and therefore it is true. It is true spiritually, this law of mathematics. And that's the same thing with God's laws, God's principles. They are the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And they are not tied to matter. It's like if you destroy every Bible in the world, everything of God in the world, God's principles still are in place. They are not touched by any material sense. Uh-huh. And so that is, you can rely on these laws of God to heal any problems that you have. Now, I will say this. It does take study. And that's why Mrs. Eddy has a quarterly Bible lesson that that the church produces. And every day, every Christian Scientist around the world studies this Bible lesson. And then on Sunday, we hear it read at our church service. And that is the bulk of the church service. And we're reading the same thing, from the same books. The Bible and Science and Health and Jesus Scriptures are our pastor. And we have first readings from the Bible and then from Science and Health. And then again from the Bible and Science and Health. And it goes like this until the lessons are done. But it does take work, but it is a joyous work. That's the thing. Even when you're struggling with something that you just feel are so, so difficult, reading the lessons, studying the Word, applying what we know brings such a sense of joy. And that's what I've found, but it is provable time after time after time after time.
Great. So there's a place here where one of the things you talk about is see through the illusions, the dream of a limited mortal life. Now, it seems fairly evident that my mortal life has a certain set of mortal limitations to it, it seems, and certainly the perception of my five senses and the perception of my mind of the conversations around me would reinforce this whole sense that my physical reality is the reality, fixed, immutable, and that just is the way it is. And yet you're talking seeing through that illusion beyond the input of the senses.
That's right. And again, I go back to the healings that I have seen, healings which go against the normal way of dealing with everything. You know, there are mortal laws, mortal thoughts about health, and, you know, if you have something wrong, you need to go do this, and you need to take this medicine, and, you know, all of these different things. And what Christian Science shows us is that there is a power that controls everything. And this power is God. This power is divine love. And this power is, well, it controls everything. It is in control of our life. And it always, always lifts us higher than this picture here of this immortal existence. Now, let me just explain the mortal existence really quickly.
Yes, please.
I have to live in it. I have to live in it. You have to live in it. We, you know, it's where we can demonstrate that we are the expression of God and that God is in control and that God is love. So I am not saying that we're trying to get rid of this human life. Not at all. But I have learned that I am not enslaved to mortal laws and ways of doing things. It is that this power, this sense of God, this sense of life in and of spirit is so much greater than anything materially that we have to deal with, and it transcends these material laws. That's how my mother was healed when the doctor told her that she would die if she didn't have an operation.
Mm-hmm.
And later, the gallstones dissolved and disappeared. This law of God is so much greater than any material law at all. So that's what I mean by seeing through this sense of life in and of matter, which is not what is true. And so many people in the world, they're suffering, you know, and they think there is no recourse. It's like, well, that's the way of life. I used to think that, too, 20, 30 years ago. But I am totally changed. It's like, nope, there is nothing that is impossible to God. And I am going to stick with it, and I'm going to study and keep demonstrating. And that's when I have these wonderful healings.
I love that. Stick with it, study it, keep demonstrating. But that you're really seeing a transcendence beyond a fixed physical reality into a place where by shifting a perspective or shifting an alignment or coming into alignment with that which is God, that there's a real place where things that Well, according to the physicians, aren't possible, suddenly are, and that literally things can transform. But once again, that healing should not be reserved for gallstones or physical disease, but that you're actually seeing situational healings as well, where people are transforming whole circumstances in their life.
That's it. And now this is my personal opinion here, and you can take it for what it's worth, but I think that the whole Bible's message is the sense of healing physical problems is really pointing to the Bible's primary message, which is reforming our sins. And when I was a child, I was very scared of sins. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is horrible. How can I sin, you know? And now I realize that that word sin means we have a wrong concept of existence.
We have a wrong concept of existence. I like that.
Okay. And that the existence is really all about God. God is all. He's the Father of all, and in us all, and, you know, with us all. He is all. And in that allness is absolute perfection. And that's what's real. It's not this human life with all these problems. And, you know, and yeah, there's some good stuff too, but there's a lot of problems. And it's like, no, this is not what life is about. It is about God. And God is where I'm going to plant my flag. I'm going to, you know, set my battle, you know, because I know that God is real. And I can prove it because I can demonstrate his laws in my life. And in demonstrating them, I heal sickness and I heal sin. And so that to me is what this whole, you know, the Bible is really trying to tell us.
I love what you just said of retranslating that word sin as not something that needs punished, but just us holding a wrong concept. I've heard people refer to that word as perhaps having an etymology that comes from an original archery term where sin simply meant off the mark. And so holding a wrong concept would definitely be ourselves taking ourselves off the mark.
That is beautiful. I love that. Absolutely love that.
So in the work that you've done, Ricardo, you've been able to bring this work around so that it not only has had results for you, but you work as a practitioner. You described a story earlier of working with a client over a period of time to where all of a sudden their nervousness that was perhaps transforming their job interview experience dropped away to where the whole point of it became an expression of self rather than trying to pass the interview, and an expression of God within self rather than trying to pass the interview. But you find that this thought process that you develop by being full-time in your healing practice, this thought process is something that you can, we'll say, transmit, bring about, rework with other people as well when you're working with them as patients or clients.
Yes. As a practitioner, I know that I can heal myself, but I can also heal others by knowing what is true about them. That I know where they live. They live in the kingdom of God. I know who their source of control is. It's God. I know who their source of supply is. It's God. It all goes back to God. And when it's very interesting because I always thought about being a practitioner, but it was just like, oh gosh, I can't do that. And so I went many years, you know, doing other jobs. Mm-hmm. And then it came to a point where I began to yearn to be a practitioner. And then after about 3 or 4 years, I actually was so ready to become a practitioner. I was just like, okay, Father, And then I lost my job. And I laugh. I say, I tell people, losing your job is some of the best things that can happen to you, because I was given a wonderful severance package, and it got me to go into the practice. And I've been in the practice ever since, and it's been about 8 years now. And I love it. It is the best job I have ever done. It also can be one of the most difficult jobs, because as a practitioner, I have to let go. And I have to understand that God is the one that does the healing. God is the one that is setting the standard. And what I have to do is just witness that power of God, and know for myself and for my patients what is true. So it's an amazing sense of humility that one has to have in order to be a Christian Science practitioner.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very, very much a place of stepping out of the way and allowing that to come through.
That's exactly it.
So you've had the chance over the period of time, and now that you're on the National Speakers Board, you've had the chance to speak in a number of different places, Ricardo. What would you say was the place that you found yourself most wondering how your message would be received when you scheduled the talk?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. This is a very good. I was invited to go and lecture in the Caribbean, and there were five different islands that I went to, and I had traveled a lot in my life, but I had never gone to the Caribbean, and when I arrived, it was very interesting because I could feel in all five islands, you could feel in the atmosphere what the people were going through. And there was one island that is being racked with unemployment, and it's very difficult. And I walked in, and suddenly it was like I just felt this huge weight of depression fall on me, and I kept fighting it, and when I use that term, I mean that I kept praying about it and knowing what was true, that God was our supply, that God supplies all our needs, that God, as divine love, always has met and always will meet every human need. If I kept at it. And then, as I got to talk with the members at the church, and then with the public during the lecture, I saw that this was indeed the big problem at that moment, was unemployment and lack. And what was so interesting was that by the time we finished the lecture, there was this buoyancy that happened, and people were happy, and that sense of lack started to dissipate, and I was so grateful for that. And then the next island we went to, there were other challenges there, and so as I went from island to island, I had to combat, I don't know if that's the right way, but I had to stand strong for what was true about five very different challenges. And each one was handled, and I was so grateful. I was just so grateful because that sense of lightness and buoyancy came after every lecture on each island. And I was so grateful, and so it was a difficult situation, but again, standing firm for what I knew was right, mentally working to know what is true, and then getting out of the way and letting God bring his love and his joy to everything, it really turned the pictures, or, you know, the mental picture, this oppressive sense, it turned it around. I hope that makes sense.
It totally made sense to me. I could hear that. Coming back again and again and again to that, we'll call it that innermost reality, or that connection with God that is the real reality. Coming back to that again and again, and then watching if you held that constant, that even the people that were in the room with you were able to elevate out of their momentary experience of life that seemed as if life was saying, is no other option, and step back into the recognition that there's significantly beyond just that limited perspective. Did I get it?
You got it perfectly.
Oh, I love it when that happens.
That's great.
It's sort of like I love it when a plan comes together. That's perfect. Fabulous. So you do your presentations in English, and you also do presentations in Spanish. And I noticed when I was looking on the website, you have stuff up that's posted in, I don't know, 37 different languages or something. What do you notice the difference between an English presentation and a Spanish presentation? Anything?
Well, yes, there are some significant differences. The core is the same. It's the same lecture, the same message, and that is a message that everybody needs to hear, is looking for, and that's the message of God's love, the message of our true spiritual natures reflecting God's love. God is the center to everything that we're doing. But it is interesting because the Hispanics, I am Hispanic. My dad was from Mexico. My mom was from Seattle, Washington, and she's of English, French, German descent. And my dad was Mexican, Spanish, Basque. So I basically call myself a mutt because it's all there. But what is interesting is that the Hispanics are very community and family oriented.
Yes.
And they really, when they come to really understand, to really find out what is going on. And then they talk about it with their family and friends. And that's something I'm always aware of, that they really, you may have one Hispanic in the audience, but there may be 10 or 15 that will get the message.
Ah.
You see what I'm saying? Because they will share it. And what I want them to share is, I want it to be clear, I want it to be understandable, and because I know that they will share it with a lot of people. And that's what's so important about that. And so that is one of the key differences, whereas many Anglo-Saxon, English-speaking, all includes all Americans in it, many of them come to... And they come for themselves to search out answers for their own lives and how they can then help others. And so I'm very aware of these two differences.
Yeah, that's got to be interesting to shift and adjust to make sure that you're whether you're speaking a I'm going to get it for myself message, or whether you're speaking a okay, I need to be able to say this so that when it gets repeated, it's still going to have the same content. A very fascinating level of difference. Let's take a second away, because we're speaking today with Ricardo Saldivar. He's going to be here in the Bay Area, and I would like to let you guys know about that information. So we'll just take a brief break, and then we'll be right back to talk more with Ricardo.
your life. Discover the connection between events in life and your spiritual nature. Come explore Way of Thinking and Solving Problems by Understanding Our Spiritual Nature, Saturday, June 9th at 4 o'clock at the Los Altos Youth Center, located at 1 North San Antonio Road. The speaker, Ricardo Saldivar from Chicago, Illinois, will present this same lecture in Spanish on Sunday afternoon, June 10th at 3 o'clock at the Mountain View Community Center. Both lectures are free and are open to the entire community.
Hey, hey, you are listening to Spiritual Perspectives, talking about real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. I'm your host, Scout Bartlett. We're originating from our flagship station, KEST, in San Francisco, and broadcasting via internet all the way around the world. Our guest this morning that we're talking to is Ricardo Saldivar. Ricardo's going to be in the Bay Area, but you can also find him online with a tremendous amount of information. So we'll come right on back to that interview. Ricardo, welcome back. Glad to have you. So we've been talking about maintaining, call it, a deep inner awareness of an inner truth without being distracted by the illusion of our surroundings, or without being convinced that our surroundings are right, and then actually watching a transformation of life as, we could say, life steps up to match that deeply held inner truth. Does that fit?
Yes, yes. Very, very well. I hadn't heard it expressed that way, but that's very, very, very correct. The truth that we hold on to, this truth about God being all, about God being good, about God creating everything in His image and likeness, and that everything that God created, he saw was very good, and holding on to this truth helps us to find solutions to our problems. And so, in essence, when we find the solutions, it lifts us higher to a more spiritual way of thinking. And therefore, the world around us is transformed by the solutions that we find, by the way we live our life. So, yes, that's very, very good.
And so when you say transformed, Ricardo, I want people to really understand. You're not saying, ooh, if I hold on to that sense of solutions inside of me, then I walk through the same external muddle, but I don't feel so bad about it. You're literally meaning physical transformation, right?
Definitely. Definitely. If I look at myself 10, 20, 30 years ago, and I look at the man that I've become, it's like night and day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was always a good person, you know, to the mortal sense of things. I never, you know, did any crimes. I didn't, you know, didn't have to have that kind of reformation. But what I did need to have was this reformation of my very being, that I did not accept that I was enslaved in this body and in this material world. And that's why people that do crimes and are in jail and all are very receptive to Christian Science, because it is a way out of the life that they have seen, or has seemed to them to be the only life there was, this life of crime, this life that is a downward spiral. And this sense of knowing God and performing lives is very welcoming to them. They can see it so clearly. I have had some of my best lectures in jails. But it's something that is, I know for myself that my life has been transformed, because I can see, you know how most of us know things about ourselves that nobody else will know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is, it's like the deep, dark secrets. Well, in my life, I have seen those deep, dark secrets that have been transformed. I have lost them. Not lost them. I have, well, yeah, lost them. That I no longer think that way.
Yes.
I no longer live my life that way.
Yes.
And it's a little bit awe-inspiring when I think about the way that I used to be, the way I used to think, and the way I think now. It's very humbling and very awe-inspiring.
Perfect. There's one piece in your upcoming lecture, Understanding Our Spiritual Nature. Very directly you say, how can you bring more goodness and abundance into your life? So what small insight, because I know we don't have time to cover your whole lecture, but what small insight would you have about how can we bring more goodness and specifically more abundance into our lives? What shift or what transformation are we looking for there?
Well, that is very interesting because Mary Baker Eddy has a certain passage from Science and Health. I had already said it a few minutes ago in this talk, but where she writes, divine love, which is another name for God, divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. And it's one of the three passages that she has asked that be put on many of our church walls. You know, she only allows three passages, and that's one of them. And
wow.
So we, most Christian Scientists know that passage very, very well. And I knew it for years. But it wasn't until about 3 or 4 years ago that I looked at that passage, and I thought, divine love always has met. And I thought, okay, so I can, it's easy for me to look back and say, yeah, God was with me there. Oh, yeah, God was with me there. You know, and I can point to different times and different places where supply flowed, and I'm like, wow, God was there. But the second part is much more difficult. Divine love always will meet every human need. And so it was like I said, about 2 or 3 years ago, I looked at that passage and I went, oh my gosh, I never have to worry again.
Wow.
And I say this because divine love always will meet every human need. And I was just kind of amazed. And I have tried to live up to that during these last 3 or 4 years. So whenever I start to worry about finances, I stop myself immediately and I say, no, God is always taking care of every human need. And so I start to work with that passage and I start to work with the truths that I know, that God is our source of supply, that God gives us ideas. He gives us the right thoughts that we need to solve these human problems. And then what has happened is that I immediately, the worry just stops. And I keep working with those. And I have seen the most amazing workings out of supply that you can imagine. And so, I mean, it's just, it's too numerous to even tell you. But I said, it's like I tell people that money seems to come from the sky, you know?
Fabulous.
It's just there. Now, my motive has to be right. And the motive is so important. Because I have to be doing things for the right reasons. I have to be, you know, loving my neighbor. I have to be doing things because I feel that humanity. You know, it will help my community. And then if I get my motive right and really work to understand that my motive is correct, then God gives me these wonderful sense of supply in abundance. So to me, I no longer worry about money. I just know that God is taking care of me. Now, that also means that I still have to work. I still have to travel. I still have to do everything I need to do. It's not saying, oh, I can just lay back and do nothing. But it is a sense of security that I have never known before and that I am so grateful that I know now.
Absolutely. There is that place of having been given inspiration, one needs to then follow through on the inspiration if one wants things to follow through. Ricardo, the time has gone entirely too quickly. This has just been a delight, and I know a number of our listeners are going to want to go find you at your presentations. The ads will be here. You can find it. You can find it online as well. But I want to mention that today's talk with Ricardo has been sponsored by the First Church of Christ Scientist on University Ave in Los Altos. They are also sponsoring his talks here in the area. You can find out more at cschurchlosaltos.com. This has been Spiritual Perspectives. This is your host, Scout Bartlett. Ricardo, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you and your listeners so much. My love to all of you.
I appreciate it. And in fact, I want to remind everybody to always treat yourself as a loved one, because you truly are. And that no matter where on the world you are, it's a perfect day for you to have a great day on purpose.